Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of September 17, 2023. Go to our website, newhopechristianchurch.net, for resources, events, and information about the church. This week's sermon is titled Core Values: Hope in Jesus, by lead pastor Carrie Yeck.
I'm a little bit relieved. I saw on my sheet here, announcement said, cook the books. Well, that's not what I thought of when I cooked the books. It's something a little bit different from that. Glad it turned out the way that it did, though. Please keep in your prayers Connie Connelly. Her adult son, John Borsch, passed away, and that service will be this Saturday here at New Hope, so keep that family in your prayers. Dr. David H. Ross Marin is an associate professor at Harvard Medical School. Shortly after the COVID pandemic, he argued that mental health in America had sunk to an all-time low. The numbers of mental health disorders increased 50% during COVID. Alcohol and other substance abuse increased or surged, and young adults were twice as likely to commit suicide as they were prior to COVID. In spite of the number of books and the number of articles that have been written on the topic of happiness, which have flooded our culture, books like Happy Money, Happiness for Beginners, The Happiness Advantage, etc., our levels of happiness have steadily declined over the last few years. Dr. Ross Marin says, the only group, hear me now, the only group to improve in mental health during COVID were those who attended religious services weekly. Ross Marin argues that psychiatry needs to turn to God for the answers to mental health. Janet Benson of the University of Copenhagen examined Google searches for the word prayer in 95 countries. She says those searches hit an all-time high across the globe in March of 2020, the beginning stages of the COVID pandemic. Most of us would agree from our own personal experiences, tough times drive people to seek out their spiritual roots in God. The Brookings Institution, which is not a Christian organization, has long been known for its research aimed at shaping public policy and improving our standard of life. Before the pandemic, the Brookings Institution issued a report in October of 2019, which concluded, and I quote, "The metric that determines human longevity is not whether people are happy or unhappy. It is one's hope for the future, or the lack thereof, that's linked with premature mortality. Fear, depression, isolation, a lack of purpose, they're all symptoms of a life and a culture that is broken and hurting from sin. And the one common denominator prevalent in any individual's overall mental and physical health is the presence or the absence of hope." We began a series of sermons last week examining the core values at New Hope Christian Church. Mind you, these are not values the elders would like for us to attain. These are values that we see already exist here at New Hope. And we began last week with the value of biblical authority. At New Hope, we believe that God is the ruler and He is the creator of all things, the source of absolute truth revealed through the reading and the study of His Word, the Bible. Now, I don't know if you have on your outline there, our second value that we're going to look at today is called hope in Jesus. And I'd like for us all to read that together. So let's do that. We want to bring the hope only found in Jesus Christ to our friends, neighbors, family, and anyone we meet. All right, point one. We've all got to have it. Everyone wants it. It's what gets you through the tough times in life. It keeps you from quitting. Happiness is difficult to discover unless we have it. Perseverance is problematic to maintain unless we have it. A positive outlook is painfully absent unless we have it. What is it? It's hope. In his book entitled The Case for Hope, Lee Strobel quotes Dr. Arnold Hutchnecker, who said, and I quote, "Since my early years as a physician, I learned that taking away hope is to most people like pronouncing a death sentence. Their already hard-pressed will to live can become paralyzed, and they may give up and die." I mentioned this in a sermon, I don't know how long ago, but during World War II and the Korean conflict and the Vietnam War, many American prisoners of war died from a condition that doctors nicknamed give-up-itis. Faced with horrible conditions, no prospects of freedom, many POWs became demoralized, gradually wasted away, and died. And why? Because the human spirit needs hope to survive. Flagstaff, Maine was a small village located on the Dead River. The town was scheduled to be flooded in 1950 in order to enlarge the Flagstaff Lake and produce hydropower electricity. In the months prior to the town being submerged, none of the houses in Flagstaff were kept up or repairs done. And the mindset was, why repair anything when the whole village is soon going to be underwater? Why paint a house, inside or outside, that would be covered with water in but a few months? So week by week, the town slowly deteriorated as it looked to be flooded. Someone observed, and I quote, "Where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present." Most of you can probably recite 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. You may not even realize that you could do it. But I'm going to start it, and then I want you to finish it with me. So it starts like this, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, love. And the greatest of these is love." Now, we've read that verse, and probably you're like me, have wondered, okay, I get faith and hope. I understand why those are so important, but how in the world did hope get up there in the top three things that we need in life? Jesus reminds us in John the 16th chapter in verse 33, "Here on earth, you're going to have many trials. You're going to have many sorrows. But take heart," Jesus said, "because I have overcome the world. And I have told you this ahead of time so that you may have peace in me." Jesus knows that hope always precedes faith. Hope makes faith possible. Hope supplies the will to keep going. Because without that hope, we lose our will to live. We must never believe Satan's lies that people can't change or that our circumstances will never improve. Jesus says in John 16, 33, "Yes, you're going to have tough times in this life. We all do. But I've overcome them all." And Jesus says, "I've got something in store for you beyond your wildest imagination. But listen, I need you to need me. I need you to trust in my promise that the best is yet to come." In Matthew 14, Jesus' disciples find themselves in the middle of a life-threatening storm. Now, granted, some of these disciples were fishermen. They were career fishermen. So this wasn't the first storm on the Sea of Galilee that they had encountered. Nevertheless, they're out there on the sea, the wind is howling, the waves are crashing all over them, and for all of the rowing or paddling or whatever it was they might have been doing, Jesus' disciples knew they were in trouble. Now, we've been in that situation before. We understand what that is like. They literally feared for their lives. And so it's about 3 a.m. in the morning when Jesus is seen walking on the water toward the boat. And Jesus spoke the same words to them that he speaks to you and I today in the midst of our worst storms. Don't be afraid. Take courage, for I am here. When your circumstances have sucked every ounce of hope out of your life, don't be afraid. Take courage, for Jesus Christ is with you. Jesus has promised he would always be with us, that he would never leave us. And yes, that includes being with us in the middle of our worst storms. In Acts chapter 27, Paul was being taken prisoner by boat across the Mediterranean Sea to the city of Rome. Dr. Luke wrote the book of Acts. He was a close servant of Paul's and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he writes in verse 15 of Acts 27 that they are caught in a major storm. In fact, it was so bad that Luke writes in verse 17, the sailors, now this, the Greek word here means bandaged, coming from a doctor, all right? He says in Acts 27, 17, the sailors bandaged the ship by passing ropes underneath the ship and tightening them in order to hold the ship together. Now, since the compass had not yet been invented, the only way sailors knew where they was the movement of the sun in the sky by day and the location of the stars at night. But Luke tells us they hadn't seen the stars and they hadn't seen the sun for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! So they didn't have a clue where they were at. They didn't know whether there was land close or not. The storm is raging. The passengers are hanging on for their lives. 2 weeks. Can you imagine the seasickness they must have had after 2 weeks of that ship bouncing around? No eating, no sleep, no rest. 2 weeks. And in verse 20, Luke writes, "We finally gave up all hope of ever being saved." Everybody but Paul suspected that they would never be saved from the situation. Have you ever felt that desperate? Have you ever imagined that no one could possibly relate or understand the depth of your hopelessness? Imagine the plight of Job. Job had been one of the wisest and wealthiest, the most blessed and respected men of his day, and yet, in a matter of only a few hours, Job lost nearly all of his material wealth. 7 of his sons and 3 of his daughters died. And God allowed Satan to inflict Job with a skin disease. This disease was so painful, we're told in Job chapter 2 and verse 9, his wife encouraged her husband to curse God so that God would relieve his suffering by taking his life. That's how painful it was. And when 3 of Job's closest friends came to encourage him and comfort him, they hardly recognized Job. They sat on the ground near their friend and they wept. For 7 days they sat on the ground and they wept and they said nothing. Not a word. They didn't have words to comfort Job. And even though Job refused to curse God, he does say in chapter 7, verses 5 and 6, "My body is covered with maggots and scabs. There is no hope." And in verse 16 of chapter 7, Job says, "I hate my life. I don't want to go on living." And who could blame him? Have you ever felt like there's no hope in your life? Maybe your health has deteriorated, and you are so physically and emotionally and mentally tired, fighting a battle. that you know or have little hope of winning. Maybe you've alienated yourself from your family or some of your close friends because of things that you've done or things that you've said, poor choices that you've made. Maybe you're in a marriage in which you see little hope that it's ever going to improve. Maybe your job stinks, and the only reason that you stay with it is because it pays the bills. Maybe you've outspent your income by so much, there is no hope of turning your finances around. As strange as it sounds, desperation is often the motivation people need to find a solution to their despair. Like the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, so many times it takes a pig pen that we've created for ourselves to finally drive us back to our Heavenly Father. I wish it wasn't that way, but it oftentimes is. Storms have a way of forcing us to do a self-evaluation. Storms cause us to look at our lives and ask ourselves what is really important and what are the things that we just think are important. Desperate people who are spiritually empty will often turn to God as a last resort to find hope. The it we all have to have is hope. Point two, God wants to provide it. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, God spoke this prediction through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen. I put my spirit on him. He will not fight. He will not shout out in public. And his name will be the hope of all the world. Later, 700 years later, Matthew refers to this prophecy from Isaiah to identify Jesus as that hope. Jesus is that one in whose name the world will find hope. I'm telling you, real hope can never be found in the things of this earth. Never. Everything in which we look to for hope in this world has been adversely affected by the fall. Sin has infected every aspect of our life. Nothing on this earth lasts forever. There are no ideal situations. There are no perfect marriage partners. There is no paradise where we can live, and there's no flawless friends here on earth. Every horizontal thing this side of heaven is in the process of decay. So Paul wrote to Titus and he says, we should live in this evil world we're in right now. He says, live with wisdom and righteousness and devotion to God and do all of that while we look forward to that wonderful day when the glory of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. So this is the kind of world that we're living in. And Paul tells Titus, listen, live with wisdom and righteousness and devotion to God until that day when we see everything clearly. The hope that gives us reason to live good and righteous lives. The hope that addresses our deepest inner needs. The hope that gives us reason to keep on pressing on regardless of how life gets is vertical. It's a living hope. It's Jesus Christ. Isaiah reassured us, those who trust in the Lord will find superhuman strength. In a constantly changing world, I don't know about you, but sometimes it just feels like things are coming from so many directions and it's like they're crashing against the boat of life. And in that environment, the Hebrew writer tells us Jesus Christ is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. There's a good reason that we encourage our family at New Hope to read and study the inspired charts that God has given us for our journey through life, deepening our relationship with Jesus Christ during the quieter times of our lives, assures us that He is present and guiding us during the rougher times of our lives. Chuck Swindoll said it like this, and I quote, "The best plan for surviving a storm is preparation. The secret of survival is what you do ahead of time in calmer waters. Then, when the inevitable winds of adversity blow, and they most certainly will, you'll be ready to respond in faith rather than fear." Unbelievers have used Charles Darwin's theory of evolution and natural selection for many decades now to try and explain the existence of the universe and all of its life forms apart or without God. But did you know, Charles Darwin spent part of his life attending Christian college to go into ministry. Now, obviously, he eventually rejected the idea of God. And as his worldview without God changed, so did his demeanor. In fact, Charles Darwin wrote that as he got older, he noticed a pronounced, his words now, a pronounced loss of happiness. Well, I'm smart enough to know why he noticed a pronounced loss of happiness. It's because he was pulling away from the one who is our source of hope, who is our anchor. You've probably heard this formula before, know God, N-O, know God, no peace, right? Know God, K-N-O-W, know God, and no peace. Jesus promised that even in the midst of our troubles, He would give us an inner peace. He would give us a quiet confidence. He would give us a sure hope. So He advises us, never be afraid. I'm with you. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 18, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that God is someday going to reveal within us." And then in verse 28, Paul adds, "For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose." Because the believer has the hope of an eternal existence in heaven, whatever times of trouble we have or we experience in this life, they are eventually going to seem minuscule, light. Jesus is our sure, He's our solid hope of eternal life. And because He is, everything else in this life is temporary and it's trivial. It's going to pass away. So we all need hope. God wants to provide hope. Thirdly, believers must share it. I mean, what happens when we find good news that we know might help someone else? Do we keep it to ourselves? Or do we share it with them? What if we knew there was a miracle drug that would cure multiple sclerosis or various types of cancer or Parkinson's disease? Would we keep that knowledge to ourselves? Or would we share it with others? And what if we know the cure to every person's mental health is the person of Jesus Christ? What if we know that Jesus Christ is the hope for every human being? Is that good news something that we should keep to ourselves? Or is it something that we should be sharing with others? I was recently walking on a street in Cleveland, and I come across this guy sitting on a bench, and he asked for some money to eat. And I asked him his name, and he said, "Jerry Lewis." I said, "Hey, great, Jerry. My name is Dean Martin." I didn't. But I knew about a third of you would know what I was talking about, okay? So... So I gave Jerry some money for food, and then I asked him, "Jerry, do you know that Jesus Christ loves you?" And he said, "I do, sir." And we talked a couple more minutes, And I prayed for him. And I'll be honest, I don't think a few years ago I could have had that conversation. It just wasn't something that came naturally to me. But the more I think about the hope and who the source of hope is, the more I realize it's not about me. It's about him. It's about Jesus and what he can do for people. But before we can share that hope with anybody else, we have to be first convicted in our own hearts that it's true. We have to first be satisfied customers ourselves, right? We have to first have been in a position of being destitute and depressed ourselves and without hope and found out that Jesus is our source of hope before we can help anybody else. And then my story or stories or your story or stories, they become the talking points that we can use to build a bridge to other people who are struggling without hope. We become an ambassador of hope. Paul said it like this in Romans 15 and verse 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with his joy and his peace precisely because you trust in him. You're not walking the ways of this world. We're trusting in him. Then, Paul says, then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not containers that keep hope inside. We are wells of hope from which others can drink. Oh, but I can't talk with people. Man, I'm just a stumbling, mumbling idiot. I get that. But it's the Holy Spirit who empowers me and empowers you to say and do what we couldn't do on our own. It's our love for the Lord and what he's done for us. It's our love for people that compels us to do that which isn't natural for us. When we've died to ourselves in order to live for Jesus, we don't see people in the same way that we used to see them. And the Apostle Peter reminds us, it is by God's great mercy that we have been born again. None of us earned it. It is by God's great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we go through life with a great expectation because we have a priceless inheritance, pure and undefiled, that is beyond the reach of change or decay in this world. Even though you must temporarily endure many trials, be truly glad, Peter says, because there is a wonderful joy ahead. I believe that. Peter says we can take all of our vacations and we can take all of our activities and events and we can take all of our priceless MasterCard moments, bundle them together, and they still don't even remotely compare to the living hope, the priceless inheritance that we have waiting for us in heaven. When we see, what we see of heaven right now is but a glimpse. It's a glimpse of the glory that we're one day going to see very clearly. So let us not look back someday on our lives with regret of what we should have done differently, how we should have lived differently, how we should have disciplined ourselves. Let us instead be so focused, so intentional, so intense that we will do whatever it takes to live a godly life. We will discipline ourselves to spend time with our eternal friend every day. We will live with a sense of urgency in showing how his hope has transformed us so that his hope will be caught by others. It was the great A.W. Tozer who once said, and I've shared this before, but it's so powerful. He said, a frightened world needs a fearless church. The current uncertainty in our world is the opportunity that we as Christians have to show a secular world the power of sacred living. Bethany Hamilton was once ranked as the best amateur teen surfer in Hawaii. In October of 2003, Bethany lost her arm as she was surfing to a tiger shark attack. Now keep in mind, she has a strong faith and a fierce hope in Christ's promises to her. So she's committed to being a champion surfer, but she told her father, you know, if I can't be a champion surfer with one arm, then I'll take on something else. I'll play soccer, whatever I need to, because she's got that kind of a competitive spirit. Her pastor, Steve Thompson, says, Bethany is determined to show the world that in spite of her misfortune, her life is filled with joy and hope because she trusts that in every circumstance of her life, God is taking care of her. I don't know what I'm going to experience in the remaining years of my life, and you don't either. What I am sure of is this. Whatever I go through and whatever you go through, Jesus Christ will be right there with me. And that's all I need to know. So for now, I find myself focusing on Jesus, living like Jesus, and resting in Jesus' hope and Jesus' peace. Why? Because a frightened world needs a fearless church. In Jesus' name is the hope of all the world. Let's pray. God, I know what my life is like, and you know what my life is like, and honestly, you just blow me away with your grace. As Tim was describing earlier, it's undeserved, but we accept it, and we thank you for your promises. No matter what we go through in this life, you are our source of hope. That when Satan tries to convince us that there's no way anybody around us can change, or there's no way our circumstances can change, that you are the God who specializes in doing the impossible. And I dare say we've all seen that happen at one time or another. And when it does, it isn't coincidence and it isn't an accident. It's your hand upon our circumstances and situation. And Lord, we love you. And I know that every one of us come in contact with people who feel hopeless every day, it seems like. And I just pray that we would live our lives so powerfully in you, so content and full of your peace, Lord, that others will look at us and ask, what in the world is it that you have? Because I want it too. So create within us a thirst, a hunger for your word, the desire to just spend time with you in prayer and to fellowship and grow with your people so that we can go out there and be the salt and the light of the world. In Jesus' name, for his sake, we pray these things. Amen.